the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites you to our 2017 Holy Convocation, Tuesday, September 12th through Saturday, September 16th, here at Bethel Deliverance International Church. This year's theme is Serving One Another. Join us for a special week of services beginning Tuesday, September 12th at 7 o'clock p.m. as Pastor Susie C. Owens of Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church delivers an impactful message from God. Bringing forth the Word of God on Wednesday, September 13th at 7 o'clock p.m. is Bishop David G. Evans of Bethany Baptist Church. Thursday, September 14th at 7 o'clock p.m., we will be in for yet another treat as Reverend Deborah Crawley of Childs Memorial Baptist Church brings us a powerful message from God. On Friday, September 15th at 7 o'clock p.m., prepare to receive a dynamic word from our leader and pastor of Bethel Deliverance International Church, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. For the closing night of our celebration, Saturday, September 16th at 5 o'clock p.m., bring your teenagers out to our Teen Live event. So be sure to join your BDIFC family for our 2017 Holy Convocation, Tuesday, September 12th through Saturday, September 16th, here at Bethel Deliverance International Church.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen to Paul. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For so long, we told people that meant that you as a Christian can't marry a sinner. Now that verse, you can use that verse, but it's not really the primary motivation. You know the reason why you shouldn't marry a sinner if you're saved? You got nothing in common. They're full of the devil. You're full of God. It's just going to be warfare all night long, and you're going to be sleeping with the enemy, and they're going to try to kill you. And either you're going to kill them or they're going to kill you. They're going to be cussing while you're trying to praise the Lord. You're going to be reading your Bible while they're turning on the television set, motivated by satanic spirits. You're trying to be motivated by God. It's warfare in that house. There's no peace in that house. Why would you put yourself through that? Being married to a Christian is work enough. And both of y'all saved. But then to invite somebody in, well, praise the Lord, I just love them, and God's going to win them. No, he won't. Marriage is not the precursor to salvation. Well, praise the Lord, once you get in here, I'll deliver them. No. So Paul, but what Paul is talking about here is our daily, connections. But he uses the more forceful verb of yoking. Listen to me carefully. Christians should not go into partnerships with sinners. I didn't say you can't work for their company, because if you work for their company, God can bless that company because of you. But they should not be your equal partner, because God may speak to you and say, I need you to take all this month's receipts and put them into the building fund. And your partner says, you lost your mind. You ain't taking our money and putting it in. They force you to disobey God. The Lord may tell you, like he used to tell Strawbridge and Clothier people, shut down the business for an hour and pray. Your partner may say, we ain't shutting down the business. We'll be losing money. And God is saying, well, who are you going to obey? You should not have an unbeliever as a partner. That's what I was thinking about bringing Pookie in, because he had $10,000 worth of capital that he sold on the corner and caused people to snort up his nose. How's God going to bless your business when you are funding cocaine addiction? Christians are flocking to all these ungodly places. I like the cruise. The reason why I like the Disney boat, there's no casino. There's no casino on the Disney boat. You don't even have that temptation. It's not a temptation for me, because I never even pitched pennies. I hate to lose anything. For God to tell me to give him each week what I give him, believe me, it's a miracle, because the kid is tight. I get a nickel, the bull says, moo. He told his other friends, we're going to be in here for a while. That's how I manage Bethel, too. That's why we don't have no financial crashes, because I'm cheap. I don't spend my money, let alone God's money. That's why God said, you can build a church without a mortgage because I can trust you. Yeah. But so many of us, when we get people in our lives, they encourage us to do what's wrong. So you go on a Royal Caribbean boat, they got a big casino. I don't even like walking through it. For one reason, it's a lot of cigarette smoke. Now, the other reason is I just can't stand seeing people waste money. But a lot of Christians go to Vegas and gamble, and they actually think it's okay. Won't tithe, won't give a dime to the Phase 1 building, but will go to Vegas and gamble. And the odds are against you. You ain't gonna win. I was in the Bahamas going through Atlantis, and they have shops. My wife's middle name is Shop. You know how I'm a junior at my name? Her middle name is Shop, and the thing behind her name is Bye. So I cut off that Bye. We were in Nassau, and I just wanted to see Atlantis. So we walked through, and the guy at the gate there, he says, oh, well, the shops are all on that side. So we were, okay, finally, we're just going to look. All we're going to do is look. I love looking, training her, look. The Bible says look. And so we were walking past the casino. There's a casino there. And I was so glad we didn't have to go through the casino. You walk past, and people were coming out. Hi, Pastor Lambert, we go to your church. I take a mental note. Because Christians don't think anything is wrong anymore. We don't think anything's wrong anymore. We do whatever we want. With the advent of computers and the media explosion of today, with the movies and everything at home, with the cable boxes and the file systems and all, we can watch whatever we want to watch and nobody knows. So if I want to spend my whole night watching pornography, I can just do it. Nobody's going to know it but me, but your spirit will tell it when you come to church. People feel that demon. And we think that we're getting away. We're getting by, but we're not getting away. You download some stuff in your computer, the FBI will show up. And you know what I'm talking about. You pull in kiddie porn. That goes right to the FBI. And that'll be very embarrassing for them to show up at church. Because the devil will wait till you come to church. Or your screen will get that message on there that you can't shut off your computer because you downloaded a site that's not proper. Then you got to call the IT person to come clean it off your computer. Now, everybody know what you've been looking at. God will pull the covers back. Here's why. Because you're his child. Do you know that exposure is God's grace? Because if he doesn't and you continue in it, the enemy will slip in and destroy your life. So God will expose you. Michael Douglas thought he was getting away with something with Glenn Close while his wife was up in Connecticut, you know, and she's trying to look for a house for them to buy, doing the mommy thing and the wife thing. He down knocking boots with a psychopath. And he didn't know she was a psychopath. He just thought she was, you know, really hot and frisky. You know, they were in the elevator and in the kitchen and all the places you men fantasize about being. Until you get to 50 and then you get pains in your back for trying to reach up to the counter. And he thought he was getting away with it. And she stalked him. You're a born-again Christian. You may slip out on your wife and get involved with someone, and you don't know they're psychotic because the symptoms of being a psychopath are generally they're calm people, and you never, the Hollywood portrays them as mass murderers walking around with masks on, trying to, you know, do a whole lot of, no, real psychopaths are usually dressed up, you know, sitting on the front row of the church, taking the title deacon, you know, sitting in the minister's room. Real psychopaths can do that, and you don't even know it. In fact, there is a test that's given to psychopaths to determine the amount of psychopathic behavior. While it's not 100%, it can pretty much set the pattern. And it was discovered that many CEOs of major companies were psychopathic. And all it really means is that these people can manipulate you out of every dime you have. Like there was one psychopath we studied about in our case studies. He had, no lie, 52 children throughout the United States. And when they were finally brought him in for an unrelated charge, they asked him about his children. He says, so what? Nobody made them lay down with me. They said, well, you going to take care of them? He said, absolutely not. They ain't mine. He could care less. Psychopaths don't care. They cut you up and eat you. Like one guy would sit outside with a false cast on his leg. Nothing wrong with his leg. And people will walk over, are you all right? Can I do anything to help you? And he would just have them walk him home and kill him. But you wouldn't see it from the outside. Some of us have married psychopathic people. And so here's what God says in 2 Corinthians. Come out from among them. Separate yourself. Don't be yoked together with people. Yoked means that you are connected at a level of involvement as well as soulish application. Most of us are familiar with the term soul tie. Soul ties are developed in two areas. Number one, they're developed by closeness of work. It is possible for you to develop a soul tie with a coworker of the opposite sex. Okay? It's possible for you to be working next to Nancy every day and develop a soul tie through conversation about your life, through conversation about your desires, your aspirations, everything. And you develop this connection. This is how you'll know it. If they don't come to work, you feel like you're missing something. The second way to develop a soul tie is through sex. We, of all the mammals and creatures that God created, humans are the only people, the only species that God allowed to have recreational sex. Every other mammal, every other critter does it when the female is in heat. They do it for the purpose of procreation. God, in his wisdom, he thought it was in his wisdom at the time, he said, I'm going to let humans do it as a show of connection and affection. The devil stepped in and turned it into some qualifier for your manhood. See, we don't have to do that to have children. But every other thing does, like dogs and cats. They don't do it when they feel like it. The cat don't look and say, baby got back. No, the cat don't say that. The cat follows the smell, and the pheromones coming from Kitty attract Tom, and Tom then mates and goes on because there's no soul connection because they don't have souls. That's why we use the metaphor that some men are dogs. That means that they can slip in, have sex, and slip away because there's no soul connection. But women don't have that ability. Even if she's a prostitute, she don't have that ability. She just tears at herself inside. And the reason why is because God made you to be mamas. And so you have an extra dose of connection. And so through the church, it's now becoming part of Christian behavior. Sex before marriage, extra sex after marriage, sex from the pulpit, wanting to sleep with the preacher. I was at a church and I was finished preaching and the people came up to shake my hand and one lady said to me, she said, this is my daughter. I said, well, praise the Lord, good to meet you. And the mother said something to the daughter within earshot, and the daughter said, he's married. And the mother said, it don't matter. I just kept walking because I didn't want to hurt nobody. This is how it is. Amen. The anointing now is not based on the move of God. It's based on how many women you get to sleep with. my dear friend Mark Sharona told me early on in ministry, he said, Eric, don't go to these conferences and all this other stuff with all these preachers. He said, because they have groupies in the back waiting for the preacher, just like the old days of waiting for the rock stars. Where does this come from? Well, Paul said not to continue to have this unbroken relationship with sinners. If you know that a man is sleeping his way through church, why do you connect with him? I don't get it. It's got to be spiritual. You know he's got a bad reputation. You know that he's doing this. You can't become angry with the pastor and the deacons. Well, y'all won't do nothing to him. Excuse me. Timothy, I got all the texts that he sent me. How did he get your number? See, here's what he says. If you believe Jesus was coming tomorrow, you get rid of these idiots out your life. Because they're holding you back. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? And what communion does light have with darkness? In other words, what do the two of you have in common? What do you have in common with this person? They like to drink and gamble. You like to worship the Lord and pray. What? Now, I'm not talking about the two of you getting married when you were both sinners and then you become a Christian. And that was the problem in Corinth when a lot of the people became Christians and they would dump their unsaved. Paul said, no, don't do that. If the unbeliever wants to stay, let him stay. Because there are some unbelievers that treat their spouses well. All of them are not devils. And then he says, verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and don't touch anything unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. What is he saying? The more you stay around these unbelievers, the more habits you begin to take on. Next thing you know, you're developing a con artist spirit. You know, you get people calling the church and telling me about people and their business and their nefarious ways. And I'm so embarrassed. They came and did work for me and never came back. They came and took the money and didn't finish the work. How are you going to do that and lift your hands on Sunday and say God is good and Jesus is Lord? How do you do that in good conscience? It's because you got sinners around you. And remember, there's a handwriting. Amen. There's a handwriting. Amen. We're supposed to be different. But when we continue to hang around sinners, and when we continue to invite them in our lives, yes, I have a plethora of friends that are not born again. I still go down in my old neighborhood to see my buddies. But I do not stay with them so much that their behavior becomes mine. I don't go down there and ask for a Colt 45. When they pull out the stuff, I say, see you guys later. Why? The Bible said, I don't want my good evil spoken of. That means nobody drives by and sees me standing there drinking a soda while they're drinking a beer. How do they know it's a soda? You don't even want your good evil spoken of. Come out from among them. Don't touch what's unclean. I'll receive you. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the and the. But spirit is in a small s, which means that there are things we do in our natural spirit that come from our flesh. For example, you can watch so much stuff on television and receive so much stuff from the world till it gets in your spirit. If you listen to KYW all day, you will develop a spirit of fear. You'll be afraid to drive. You'll be afraid to open your door. You'll just go home and bolt your door shut. And I drive past some houses, praise God, and they have bars all around the house. I said, my God, they're in prison, and the bad guys are outside. And if you actually think that those bars are going to protect you, think again. Because if man made it, man can break through it. I asked the locksmith about these electronic locks, because I'm a gadget guy. So I wanted to get one of those electronic lights. He said, Eric, don't buy it. I said, why? He said, because they can take a hammer and just pop it, and it'll mess the whole thing up, and then they can just put in any code and come right in. Anything made by man can be overcome by man. Where's your trust? Well, if you keep having these unbelievers in your life, keep associating with them until they take over your speech, now you're speaking negatively about everything. How are you? Well, I'm making it. Praise God, I'm making it. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You don't have no luck to begin with. Your life is designed by God. Everything that happens in my life is allowed by God. And if God brings me to it, he's going to bring me through it. So don't let people tell you that it's in the stars. Just because I was born in June, I ain't no Gemini. The Bible said a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. And just because you're under the sign of Pisces, you ain't no fish. You're a fisher of men, but you ain't no fish. Don't allow yourself to become part of a culture that's dying. Each day we go from faith to faith. Each day we trust the Lord. Each day we speak the things of God. We create an environment of victory when the rest of the world is suffering defeat. They're all upset about President Trump's behaviors and his tweets. We ain't upset about his tweets. We say, go on, Tweety Bird. Tweet to your heart's content. I got a Bible where every word is solidified and every promise is given by God, and not one jot or one tittle of that law will come to pass without being fulfilled. God promised to take care of me, not the government. God promised to meet my need, not Congress. God promised to protect me, not the police officer. God said, look, I'll receive you. Woo! He said, I'll be a father to you. I was telling Deacon Miles yesterday, and we were talking about our daughters, and we said, sometimes, even when your daughters grow up, they pull on you to do things for them. And we were saying how good it makes us feel when even our adult daughters pull on us. It just makes you feel good when your daughter pulls on you, not your son, but you want him to be a man. And so there are times when Shanina wanted to get a car, and she had reached the end with her car, and I says, I'll go with you, and I'll be your backstop while you negotiate the price. I'll be the little voice whispering in your ear. I said, if I bump your leg, that means that's a good deal. We had it all worked out, because you get signs and wonders from your father. So I was like, if I bump your leg, you go ahead and do it. So she was able to get what she wanted, and I was so proud of her. And so now she'll call me and say, yeah, my light came on. It's time to take it in for service. And I always give her a little bit of wisdom, because, well, I was thinking, how do you think God feels when you turn to him for help? When you say, Lord, the doctor said this situation is inoperable. God said, not to me. It ain't inoperable to me. The doctor can't reach it, but since I made you, I can reach in there and I can fix that bad boy. But if you keep hanging around people with no faith, you won't have any faith. You've got to hang around people with faith. You've got to be around people that it's been working for. You've got to be around people who know what to say. You don't want no doubting folk. You want folk to say, if God said it, we're going to agree and it's going to come to pass and the Lord will bring you through. And I'm telling you right now, it will work out. It is going to be okay because the Bible said so, and the two of us are touching agreeing. Hallelujah. Say it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. To praise the Lord. Say it's all right. Whoa. Yeah, you got to move it slow. Watch this. He said, while you cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, he says, perfect holiness. How do you do this? You, when the Holy Spirit reveals something that's improper, you start removing it. If you can't remove it on your own, confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. You should always have somebody in your life. David had Joab. Joab was a commander in David's army, but Joab would get in David's face. When Absalom had betrayed his father and tried to split the kingdom, David's heart was so broken he couldn't bring himself to taking Absalom out. And Absalom was going around to the villages and the little hamlets trying to convince people that if they support him, he would give them connection to the king's position. And he was winning people's hearts because the Bible said he had long hair. He was good looking. Long hair meant dreadlocks. He wasn't blonde. He wasn't European. He had long dreadlock hair. He was a Rasta. And he was going around with that long dreadlocks and getting people to come in. And one day he's driving, riding around, and his beautiful long hair got caught in the tree. See, he didn't duck. He probably thought, it ain't going to hurt me. That's what sin does. It makes you think you're impervious to judgment. And the tree caught his hair, and he was hanging up in the tree. And Joab came up and killed him and went back and told David, Absalom's dead. David said, oh, my boy, I can't believe my boy is dead. Joab said, get straighten up and fly right. What's wrong with you? This man was trying to take your kingdom away. Get yourself together. Laying around here whining because God removed somebody that was destructive to you. And here you sitting in counseling talking about, I don't know what to do. Pookie gone. You ought to rejoice. God moved that fool out your life, and now your joy can come back. You can go back to praying in tongues again. You can see the power of God. Let God move the devils out your life. Don't be whining when God moves you from a place you ain't growing. Get out of Dodge. Joab was something. I love him. You ought to have a Joab in your life, somebody that can tell you, now, look, all this crying, you just got to stop this. Come on, I'm by myself, and I'm so lonely. In the background, you got on Al Green. I'm so tired of being alone. I'm so tired of being alone. Oh, that set you up for the devil. Al didn't know that he was better off to be alone. Because the girl he got could master them grits, baby. I tell people, Al couldn't hit that high note till he got hit with them grits. He used to sing in like a low C. She hit him with them grits. He went up to soprano. But, you let God keep the idiots out your life. Let God separate those people. Listen, this is a faith walk. You are battling a devil that hates you, that wants to kill you. You don't want weak people around you complaining and whining and talking about how they can't make it. You want overcomers in your life. You want people that walk the walk, not just talk the talk. You want people that know how. to quote the word. Come out from among them. Come on out. Come on out. Tell your neighbor, come out. There's too much whining in the body of Christ. Too many babies. The writer to the Hebrews said, the time has come for you to stop leaning on foundational doctrine. It's time for you to move past the need to have hands laid on you. You ought to get to the place where your hand is in his hand. And I don't need the preacher to lay hand on me. I just need God to walk with me. Ow! Y'all better hear me. If God is walking with me, that means he's going to take care of everything that happens to me. What do you think he's going to do, run away when hardship comes? He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. All he asks is that you don't take him someplace dishonorable. Don't take God where he can't be God. And don't be ashamed of him. You sit down with your unsaved friends, and it's time to say grace. You just bow your head and say grace inside. The devil is a lie. When you with me, you get Jesus. Wait a minute, we're going to say grace. Bless this food, Father. I don't know what's in it, but you bless it. And this heathen sitting across from me, you deliver them. And if they don't get delivered, choke them on their food. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Too many of God's people are ashamed. Reading your Bible on your phone, on your iPad. Pull out that book. Sit on the bus with the book. Let them see that God's got some people. When you're down in the subway, Muslims are going, assalamu alaikum, da-da-da-da-da, bananas and cheese, bologna and sausage. You ought to turn and say, I praise the Lord. Make the devil mad. Praise the Lord. Everybody going to look at you and start talking about you. Praise the Lord to you too. Sing a song for Jesus. They're singing for the devil. Sing for Jesus. I had to write a paper for one of my classes. We were dealing with psychological responses to environment through music. And so we had to write a paper about our favorite song. Now, this is a secular school, so they don't allow me to bring biblical things in. They don't allow it. So we were talking about the ruling of not guilty by reason of insanity. And I said, how are you going to say that? And I said, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. I said, they ain't insane, they sinners. She said, oh, Eric, we can't use that. We can't use that. You can't bring it. It's got to be scientific. I said, there ain't a more scientific book than the Bible. But I'll obey because I went to your school. So when we got a chance, she said, you can write. So I wrote back. I said, can I write on any song? She said, any song. I said, thank you. I chose Amazing Grace. I wrote it out and sent it to all the students in my class. 32 people heard Amazing Grace. They couldn't get the music, but they got the words. And then I wrote, this song was written by a man who had come to a place where he needed Jesus and found that the grace of God was amazing. I got responses from people saying that I would love to have that kind of confidence in my heart. I gave them my private email address. Because the school can stop me from using their email address. But when you get to me on my private email address, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. God will make a way. If you are not ashamed of the gospel, he'll give you a chance to bring the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He's not ashamed of you.
I love him. Good gracious, I love him. Now watch this. There is a teaching that we are going to stand for another person's sins, and other people's sins affect us. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying," and he's speaking to the children of Israel, "What mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." Here's what that means. That the children of Israel were saying to God, "You are holding us responsible for the sins of our fathers because of an improper exegesis of the iniquities of the parents I visit onto the children." They took that out of a context, and they accused God of making me suffer for what my parents did. So Ezekiel now is going to take the 18th chapter, and he's going to clarify that God is not holding you responsible for what your parents do. While you may be suffering the consequences, you will not stand for what your parents did. Now, let's go down to verse 20. Now, in this chapter, we don't have time to deal with it now, but in this chapter, you also see where they accused God of not being fair. And sometimes we say it, "God, you ain't fair." And here's what God told me to say. He said, "Tell them that they're right. I'm not. Because if I were, we'd all be in hell. Grace is not fair." But we forget that when God shows grace to somebody else, we forget he showed it to us. And so Ezekiel, now we get down to 20, where are we at? 20, verse 20. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son." Now I love this, because we think we're so sophisticated that we hold on to generational curses out of context. We use that as an excuse. "Well, you know, everybody else in our family was unemployed and on crack, so I guess I'm just going to fall into that too." No, everybody else made a decision to be that way. Now, there are some genetic issues that you don't have anything about to do with. Here, for example, your genetics create the color of your eyes, shape of your nose. They create your blood type. Your genetics create your hair color to start. Your genetics create your starting hair color. Now, whatever it becomes later, that ain't got nothing to do with genetics, and you can't pass that on to your children. So genetics can also have a hand in your body shape. Genetics can have a hand in the development of your body. Whether you're pear-shaped, apple-shaped, whatever, genetics can have a hand in that. Genetics can also have a hand in behavior if you activate it. You don't have to activate every gene. Just because you have the propensity or the potential, it doesn't mean you have to do it. There can be, right now, medical science is finding out tremendous truths that are biblical. There are studies that suggest that drug addiction is genetic. It's becoming more and more validated. But it doesn't mean that just because you have the gene that you have to become a drug addict. It just means you have the potential. Men are XY and women are XX. there are some people that are extremely violent, extremely sociopathic. There's a difference between psychopathic and sociopathic. Psychopathic, as I told you earlier, they can be calm, and then they can have moments of violence, but usually psychopathic people are not violent, but they're conniving and scheming, like Bernie Madoff and people who rip off your money, you know, who tell you to lend them $10. They have no intention of paying you back. They are psychopathic. They might not ever kill you, but they'll rob you blind. But then there's sociopathic. Now, sociopathic people are violent. They are violent. Violent. And you could see it. Usually sociopathic tendencies are developed early when the boy starts using magnifying glasses to burn ants or set the cat's tail on fire or reach out and grab a pigeon and pull off the wings. You need to get that child some help quick or they're going to kill you. Seriously, because these behavioral patterns, they start early. And when you look down your family tree and you find Uncle Amos was a mass murderer, and then you keep going back in that family tree and you find that they're related to Cain. Because all genes of today started back there in Eden. Everything started then. And so what we've discovered now is those people that are extremely violent, men, extremely violent. Men are XY in their chromosome. But they've discovered an extra Y in extremely violent men. And here's the interesting thing. When they are tested and that extra Y is discovered, it is now used as the defense that I committed that violent crime because of my genetics. And they may not get the same sentence as a person with a regular XY. So then they would bring me in to sit with this idiot and determine if he's just using it as a fallacy or if it's genuinely a genetic issue. I would sit with them as a forensic psychologist and deal with that, you know, to bring that back to the court after studying. So the point I'm making is there are some behaviors that originate in your DNA. But that's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any is in Christ, he's a new creature. What that means, oh my God, oh time, listen to this. Here's what it means. This is fantastic when you see it. What that means is when you become a Christian, God doesn't take your DNA away. He doesn't change it. He puts in new DNA that's stronger than your old.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
7417A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44. At 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.